And to soak in, I imagine what last night must have looked like from his perspective. Me, drunk, stumbling, and altogether foolish. And he comes in like some kind of savior and brings me home, watches me in my inebriated state. So not the image I want him to have of me, and Jiggs knows that. Damn it, Jiggs!
Listen to me, he.
No! I cut him off. I can't think about this right now. I rise off the chair, my stomach all acidy again. He can't just waltz back in here and bring me home and see me like that. It's not okay. And to hell with you for letting him. I'm your sister, James.
And he's your husband.
I whip around to face him. Is he? Or did he just see something last night that contested his manhood? Did him seeing me get hit on by Pettis make him go all alpha? Like I was some kind of fire hydrant in a pissing match?
Don't do this.
Why? Because he should be allowed to just come and go in my life when he feels like it? Because that's not happening. He sinks back into the sofa and sighs. My eyes narrow. You have no idea what he's put me through. I'm sure it's the alcohol that's still pumping through my body that makes those words sound choppier than I'd like. He doesn't know I was pregnant. Only Lindsay does, and I swore her to secrecy. The coupling of losing my husband and our baby in a matter of a few short days was just too much humiliation to admit to. I wanted no pity. No casseroles, no cards. I just wanted to be sad, then bitter. All of it alone if it wasn't with Ty. I deserve that reprieve, and it's the only secret I've kept from my brother.
I know he's broken your heart. Look, I get it.
No, you don't. I laugh angrily. You don't have any clue how deep my scars go. Jig scans my face, trying to see what I mean. He quirks a brow.
I'll listen if you want to tell me.
I don't. Rolling his eyes, his jaw pulls tight.
The two of you are going to be the death of me.
My heart breaks, but I say the words anyway. I'm not sure there's a two of us anymore. We watch each other, a sadness in the room that's almost as thick as it was the day our parents passed away. Jakes, I'm really, really tired of this, I say through the strangle in my throat. I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of hoping he'll come back. Him bringing me home wasn't him coming back. That was him being jealous, and while it's entertaining, and I might even enjoy that a little bit, it's not us being together. I sniffle. Jiggs rises from the couch but doesn't come towards me. He just stands, shoulders slumped, almost as saddened by this as I am.
When did it get this bad between you two?
Walking to the mantel, I pick up the picture of us. I trace his jawline with my finger. I can't even remember. He was fine after the accident, at first, anyway. Then everything folded on top of itself. I think he got depressed. I know I felt pressured to take care of it all. He received unemployment, but no insurance payout and no overtime. Things got so tight. So I had the infertility money we'd been putting back.
Sis.
It just started feeling like this black hole, Jiggs. Like everything was shit, and we both felt that. There was nothing to look forward to anymore. My brother lets out a sigh, his hands clasping in front of him.
I knew he'd withdrawn some. When he put in his resignation from the team, I came over, asked what was up, and he said that he just couldn't do it anymore. I knew that was bullshit because those kids were his everything. But the harder I pushed, the more he refused to talk.
Dustin would come by, I say, my throat tight. It didn't help. I didn't know what to do. I just kept thinking if we could have a baby, that would shine some light on this, give us something to come together about. Instead, it caused even more stress. And then I had to use the money to live, and then I found out he was taking some of it too.
The perfect storm.
Yeah. Shaking my head, the fatigue of the situation drops hard. I sit the picture on the mantel. Maybe we grew apart. That happens. My voice breaks as my eyes fill. My entire body begins to shake. Jiggs crosses the room and brings me into a hug just as my heart starts to splinter. I feel like I've just waited on a day when I would wake up and this would all be some joke, some nightmare. But it's not, Jiggs. This is real. And it's time I accept that. It's time I accept that so much has happened between us that can't be repaired. I shake as I admit it out loud, for the first time what I know is the truth. My marriage. is over.
Chapter 10. Ty.
I haven't seen you around here in a while.
Melissa, the girl that works at Sullivan's most afternoons, draws, giving me a flirty smile as she takes my money.
Where you been, handsome?
Around.
I've missed that smile of yours.
I place a candy bar on the counter.
No chew today?
She asks, obviously proud of herself for remembering what I usually get every afternoon. Nah, I quit. I don't go into the explanation that I really don't chew it anyway, that it's some kind of habit that I've had since I was a teenager, buying the can, sticking it in my pocket, then giving it to some poor bastard that asks if he can borrow some.
You coaching again?
She asks, not missing a beat.
We need you. The newspapers from Indianapolis say we have a chance at a state title this year.
I shrug, ignoring a little bud of pride that unfolds in my stomach. Yeah, they're a good group of boys, I concede. They can do big things this year. Reynolds will have them ready.
I guess. We'll miss you on the court.
She hands me my receipt.
Don't be a stranger, Ty.
I take my change and ignore her invitation that didn't have to be spoken. Swiping my candy off the counter, I walk out. The sun is bright, despite the ominous clouds rolling in from the west. Squinting, I take a sip of my drink and make my way to my truck. I look up when I hear the distinct roar of Cord's diesel. He bursts through the parking lot of Sullivan's and slides his truck in beside mine, the tires squealing as they lock in place. Flicking off the ignition, he grins. Hey. Hey. I stop at the bed to give Yogi a scratch behind his ears. What are you doing? Not much. Was taking Yogi out to Busseron Creek before this storm hits. Maybe do a little fishing. I thought I'd swing in and see if you want to go. I shrug. Nah, thanks for the offer, though. You got something better to do? Not really. I look at my friend and laugh. Want to tell me what you said to Pettis last night? He smirks, trying to stifle a laugh. I just properly advised him of his rights. His rights? Yeah, his rights. He pulls off his hat and roughs his hand through his hair. His rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I explained those were his constitutional rights. However, those don't apply to dead men, and if he's seen anywhere near Elon Witt again, I'm afraid his rights would be terminated. My laugh triggers glances from the patrons pumping gas a few feet away. That's gold. That's fact. He grins. Now, what are you up to? I haven't seen you at home all day. Was kind of hoping you were with Elon. I kick a rock and watch it roll across the pavement. I don't know what I expected to feel like today. I guess I didn't give it much thought. I just reacted last night when I saw Elon with Pettis, and now I'm paying the price. She's all I think about every single day, but it's been worse since I slipped out of our house this morning. This time when I left, I looked back. This morning I hesitated, nearly walked back inside a handful of times, before I forced myself in the truck and down the driveway. Even then, my eyes were on the rearview mirror. Cord tilts his head, a smirk dragging across his lips. You want to tell me what happened when you took your wifey home? Nope. I figured as much. Even if you had managed to try to say something to her, she would have been too out of it to remember anyway. Come to think of it, that was the perfect time to talk to her about everything. Shit. Missed opportunity, he grins. Things will work out. I feel it in my bones. Look, nobody wants to hear about your bones, McCurry. He hops out of his truck and stands next to me. Pulling his Arrows hat down as the wind gust rips through the parking lot, he winces. Whew, damn, that's cold. They were talking about it in there, I say, flinching as the cold goes right through me. Said it's going to be a hell of a storm coming through here in a bit. Well, I guess that means no fishing. Better grab what I need and go home. Got someone waiting on you? I ask, even though I know the answer. Cord doesn't get close to people. He's friendly with Jigs and I and our wives, but that's the closest he's ever gotten with anyone. He's dated here and there, but never anything meaningful. The few girls he's brought around us over the past few years, he intentionally keeps some barrier between them. You can almost see it. He's cool about it. All the girls he dates, if you call it that, remain as friends afterwards. Everyone loves Cord McCurry. Cord just doesn't necessarily love them back by design. Nah, he grins as Yogi licks his face. This is my girl. My one and only. That's sad, Cord. I laugh. Sad but true, he says, locking his truck. I'm not built like you, man. I don't have some part of me that women can relate to. Bullshit. He shrugs, a faint frown tickling across his lips. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Either way, we're going to get blown away if we stand here much longer. He claps me on the shoulder and heads inside. Hey, I'll pick up some frozen pizzas and cold beer. How's that sound for dinner? Good as anything else. I climb in my truck and back out of the parking lot. The wind shoves me all over the road, the sun now hidden behind a steely set of clouds that move so quickly across the sky it's like they're on fast forward. Shit, I say, dodging a tree limb that flies in front of me as rain begins to pelt my windshield. My phone buzzes in my pocket, and I pull it out to see a severe weather warning encouraging everyone to take shelter. As my truck is pushed into the other lane by a crazy gust of wind, I make a quick right and head towards Quartz.
Elin, alcohol helps you make bad decisions. Nearly 24 hours after my little drinking party, I'm still making them hand over fist. Curled up on my bed, e-reader to my right, phone to my left, I have blankets tucked around me. A candle flickers on my nightstand just in case the power, which is blinking like a disco ball because of the storm, goes out. And on my body, all soft and wrinkled, is Ty's old Tennessee Arrows t-shirt. Not once since he left have I done this. There hasn't been a single instance where I've become that girl. The one that wraps herself in his clothes and tries to find the scent of his cologne buried somewhere in the fibers of the fabric. I've managed to maintain my dignity, never stooping to that level. Until tonight. I blame it on the alcohol. I'm hung over, both on the beer and on the emotions of the day. Time had granted me the small luxury of choice, and I chose anger. It was the easiest to handle. But after seeing him 3 times in as many days, and having to deal with him seeing me, and touching me, and God knows what else, things I still can't remember, it's like a hurricane came in and whipped all my feelings together, spilling them into one giant, confusing heap. His shirt helps. I don't know why, but it does. And even more disturbing is that I don't feel weak because of it. Maybe it's because I made the choice to put it on. I wasn't crying when I did it. I wasn't grieving or praying for some kind of direction from the man upstairs. It was a very calm moment after my shower, and I saw it hanging in the back of the closet. My biggest fear is letting my feelings get so mixed up by remembering who we used to be together and not who we are now. The thought of living with him and fighting like we did is unbearable. It's not us and not the way either of us should want to live. And I'm afraid if I don't stop this, once and for all, we'll find ourselves in that very same place. And I can't handle going through this again. Thunder cracks outside my bedroom window, making me jump. I snuggle deeper into the pillows and clutch my phone for good measure, wondering why the worst storms happen after midnight. Storms have always made me feel like a child. I hate the darkness, the unpredictability of the danger associated with them this time of year. I used to stay awake until Ty would come home from work if a storm was particularly bad. We would joke about what would happen when we had a baby and I had to be the grown-up. My heart sinks in my stomach. Another clap of thunder rings through the air and I shudder. It lasts for a long few seconds and ends with the sound of the back door being rattled. Don't even, I mutter, swiping a tissue off the nightstand and dabbing it against my eyes. Don't mess with me tonight, Mother Nature. The rapping sound rolls through the house again in the midst of the tree limbs scratching at the window. Hearing it again, it sounds intentional, deliberate. I pull Jiggs's number up on my phone and uncurl my legs from the blankets. Drawing in a quick breath, I drop my feet to the floor. The windowsill shakes as the wind assaults it, rocking the old farmhouse to its roots. The floor is cold against my bare feet as I slip through the room, my thumb hovering over the call button. My breathing echoes off the walls of the hallway, my senses on high alert. Listening closely, I try to hear the knocking sound again, but all I can make out is the howling wind. I round the corner and scream, dropping my phone.
Elin, it's me.
My hand searches frantically for the light switch, and when I finally find it and flip it on, I can't believe what I'm seeing. Ty is standing in front of me. His gray t-shirt is soaked all the way through, his jeans pressed against his body from the rain. His hair is smashed to his head and water droplets trickle down his cheeks. What in the hell are you doing? I gasp, my heart speeding out of control.
I didn't mean to scare you.
Oh, really? I eke out in between gasps, trying to regulate my breathing. You think you can just walk in here in the middle of the night and I'm going to be expecting you?
I hope you're not expecting another man to be walking in here in the middle of the night,
he says, a gravel to his voice that just incenses me. Laughing in disbelief, I throw back my shoulders. I don't think you have the right to an opinion on who's coming in here in the middle of the night.
My name is still on the mortgage.
Oh, we can have that fixed. We glare at each other, a standoff neither of us wants to lose. This is us, our new roles as combatants. I bend down to pick up my phone. Standing as tall as my 5'4" will allow, I stare at him. You don't live here anymore, I spit. A break to my voice that is just enough that I know it's unmistakable. He forces a swallow, unfazed by my attack.
Settle down, Elin.
Don't you dare tell me to settle down!
I just wanted to make sure you're okay. I know you hate storms.
Really, Ty? I ask in pure disbelief, my jaw hanging wide. You wanted to make sure the storms didn't scare me? How considerate of you.
Come on, E.
He sighs. No, you come on, Ty. It's a little ridiculous that after everything, you come waltzing in here acting like a fucking saint over a storm.
I was just checking on you.
Here I am, I say, holding my arms out, almost touching either side of the hallway. My chest shakes right along with the quick breaths, but I hope he doesn't notice. See me? I'm still here, doing fine without you. Not that you probably give a fuck.
Are you serious?
He booms.
You think I don't give a fuck?
Do I look serious? I shout back.
Of course I give a fuck, damn it.
He tugs at his hair in frustration.
You have no idea just how much I do give a fuck, Elin. You have no idea.
Oh, no, I don't know. And you know something else? I don't care, I seethe, lying through my teeth. Because I do care. So much. But I can't care anymore. He takes a deep breath and allows the air to settle in his lungs. He starts to speak a few times before catching himself and starting again.
I just wanted to make sure you're all right. I'm sorry.
I'm fine, as you can see. Now you need to go.
You look good,
he says softly, ignoring my request. I should have some sort of compassion for him because he's obviously trying to play nice. But I don't allow that soft spot for him because that weakens my strength. And what do I know? Maybe he's just still worried I am with someone else? Maybe he's been with another woman and wants to come home? Squaring my shoulders, I lace my arms across my chest. I am good. No thanks to you. His shoulders slump and his eyes hit the floor.
E.
Don't. You have no fucking idea what you've done to me. I see the door to what would have been the nursery out of the corner of my eye, and I choke back the lump in my throat. But let me tell you this, I say, walking close enough to him to poke him in the chest, letting my pain drive me. I am still here, and all you've done is proven that I can live without you. His eyes draw slowly to mine.
I've proven I can't live without you.
Don't even say that to me, I gruff, tears tickling the corners of my eyes. His words, coupled with the look on his face, would break me if I let them. You don't have the right to say those things to me. This was a marriage, I yell, as he cuts me off.
It is a marriage.
My hand shakes as I glare at him, pointing my finger at his face. No, it was a marriage, Ty, and you walked out.
You told me to.
Yes, I did, I say, fighting back the memories flooding my mind. But I didn't mean it. I just said it in the heat of the moment, and you took full advantage. His eyes narrow, his jaw ticking, but he doesn't respond. He just stands there, looking at me like he doesn't know where to start. A marriage isn't something you can just come and go from as you please. You ruin this. Not me. My voice is steadier than I anticipated, and it gives me some courage.
You're right.
He says carefully, his Adam's apple bobbing in his throat.
I ruined it, and I will fix it.
That would mean I want it fixed. The hallway closes in on us, the air between us hot and thick. We just stare at each other, feeling each other out.
You have no idea.
No! I yell, my hand going back into the center of his chest. It's wet and hard, and it feels so familiar. You have no idea what you've done to me, to us. His hand wraps around my wrist, and my breath escapes in a smooth gasp. The contact, skin to skin, is not something I'm prepared for. It's not fair. Bending down so his face is inches from mine, he says.
To us, because it's still us, E.
I snort, trying to ignore the feeling of his touch. The corner of his lips curl, his gaze darkening. The look is ferocious, and as he takes a step towards me, I take one back.
Don't act like I don't know what us means, Elin.
He snaps, taking yet another step forward.
Everything I do in my life is for you.
So, walking out on me was for my own good. You did that for me? The cockiness in my tone is to hide the anticipation of reaching the boiling point. We're almost there. I feel it. The temperature rising and ready to topple over. I just don't know which way it's going to fall. Gee, thanks, Ty. That makes this so much easier. Thunder cracks outside just as my back hits the wall. My chest rises and falls, touching his with every intake of breath. He peers down at me, his eyes boring into mine.
There hasn't been a damn thing easy about this.
He says, his breath hot against my skin. That was your choice. I try desperately to hold on to the anger that's being replaced quickly with my need, my desire, my craving for this man. The only man I've ever loved. The man that is my other half, whether it's fucked up or not. Being this close to him puts me at a disadvantage. But there's no denying the little balm of peace that's washed over some of my wounds by his presence, by his touch, by the way he's looking at me.
It sure as hell didn't feel like my choice.
He gruffs. Maybe that's the problem, I say, the words full of hesitation. Maybe. Maybe we aren't the same people anymore. Maybe we've changed. I know you're not the Ty I once knew.
No, you're right.
He says with an arrogant shrug of his muscled shoulders.
I love you more than I ever have.
Fuck you, I say. I slip to my voice that he hears. His eyes glimmer, distracting me, and I don't see the kiss coming. But the feeling of his lips against mine sends a zip of energy screaming through my veins. Ty, I object half-heartedly, pressing him away with only a portion of the gumption I could put behind it if I wanted to. He doesn't care. He just kisses me harder, his lips soft and smooth like I remember. My knees go weak, like it's some kind of first kiss, my breathing ragged like the first time he kissed me under the steps at the high school. He drops his grip on my wrist and clenches my hips with both hands. His lips are unrelenting, working mine with such precision, such skill that all I can do is follow along. And really, it's all I want to do. Our kisses grow quicker, our breathing more labored. My head is spinning, shouting at me to stop the madness. My body, my heart lobbying in tandem to stay put because this is where I'm supposed to be. I can't process the arguments. All I can do is fall into an easy rhythm, be played like an instrument in the hands of the man that knows it like the back of his hand. A man that's played it a million times, that's crafted how it plays by his touch. My fingers find the back of his hair and I lace them through his wet locks. He growls against my lips, the heat of his breath tingling my mouth and eliciting a fire between my thighs. His fingers dig into my hips, his body pressing mine into the wall. The intensity of the contact at every level makes me desperate for more. Ignoring the tick of my subconscious that tries to remind me why I shouldn't be here, my hands hurriedly find the hem of his shirt. It's wet and heavy, and when my skin touches the defined lines of his abdomen, we both flinch. My fingertips skirt his chiseled torso, his body rolling against my skin, itching for connection the same as me. In a swift movement, I find the waistband of his jeans and frantically undo the button. The zipper slips down over his hardened cock. Ah, I moan as his lips finally leave mine and work their way to the skin just below my ear. Before I can register it, my shirt is up and over my head.
Oh, fucky.
He breathes as he takes in my nude body.
Damn, baby.
Oh, Ty, I whisper, my voice barely heard over the storm raging outside. It's no match for the explosion happening inside me. His eyes never leave mine as he slips off his shoes and jeans. I watch, pinned to the spot by the words he's telling me without saying anything at all.
Come here, sweetheart.
He whispers as the light in the bedroom flickers and the power goes off. My hands shake as I reach for him in the darkness. He takes my hand mid-air, like he knew where it'd be, and guides me to him. Our bodies press together skin to skin and our hearts thumping at the same frenzied pace.
Oh, God.
He mutters, holding me tight against him. Ty?
Yeah?
He asks as his fingers stroke my back. The war raging inside me tears me in half. For once in my life, I go not with what makes sense, but what makes me feel better. This time, just this once, I'm going to give in. After this, I know what I'll have to do, and it's been a long time coming. I take a deep, shaky breath and go for it. Fuck me before I change my mind.
Chapter 11. Ty. The security light kicks on at the end of the hall, a soft glow that illuminates the woman in front of me. She watches me, her chest rising and falling quickly, her eyes wild even in the dimness. She looks so fucking beautiful. Her hair is in a wild knot at the top of her head, her cheeks pink. Although I love seeing her in my t-shirt and hope that means she was thinking of me, I love her more like this, bared, just for me. It takes a split second for her words to sink in, and once they do, the fire in my gut is stoked into a raging inferno. Stalking the minimal distance between us that feels like a canyon, I pin her to the wall. My hands are on either side of her head, my cock pressed against her belly. A small, quick intake of breath escapes her lips as she feels how hard I am. "Feel that?" I ask, my lips brushing across her cheek. She hums, tilting her neck so my lips find the crook of her neck. I drag the pad of my tongue against her skin, tasting the sweetness beaded from the anticipation of what's to come. She takes my left hand off the wall, dropping the back of it onto her shoulder, and with her hand wrapped around my wrist, trails it slowly down her chest, over her breasts. Her nipples are stiff, wanting to be sucked, and my cock throbs at the thought. My rough hand draws down her smooth torso, gliding over her belly button. Her back arches off the wall, her eyes floating closed as a soft moan escapes her lips. I let her stay in control. My hand is twisted so the palm is centered over the apex of her thighs. She takes one of my fingers and presses it against the opening of her pussy.
"Feel that?"
she moans.
"Ah,
fuck." She's soaking wet for me, her body begging for my attention. I flatten my palm against her body, cupping her pussy. Two fingers press firmly against her opening, and I watch her head fall back against the wall. Feel good. She doesn't respond, but she doesn't have to. I know how to work this woman better than I can work myself. Kneeling in front of her, I part her with one hand, putting pressure on her clit with my thumb. She gasps, knowing what's coming, and I smile up at her when she looks at me. I lick her slowly, my flattened tongue soaking up every bit of sweetness I can find. Her hips roll against me, needing the friction that I'm deliberately withholding. I dip my tongue into her, strumming small circles against her clit. Her moans fill the air, a straight shot to my dick. Sliding my tongue up her slit again, I can feel her start to go off. I know from hundreds of times of doing this very same thing that she will explode if I touch her for much longer. So I stop.
Tyler!
She moans, grabbing my hair and attempting to force my face against her. Smirking, I stand and wipe the wetness off my face with the back of my hand. "What, Elin?" I tease.
You know what?
She groans, pulling me towards her. I wrap my arms around her, each hand cupping her ass. Her mouth forms a perfect O at the contact, her body turning into putty. I knead her backside in my hands as I look into her eyes. I lift her, letting her thighs rest on my forearms. I pin her back to the wall, and her legs wrap around my waist like it's an automatic response. I feel the heat rolling off her. The muscles in her legs clench as our bodies make real contact. She reaches down and palms my rock-solid length and guides it into her. She moans as the tip parts her. She bites her bottom lip, tugging it between her teeth. Her wetness coats me as I slide into her tightness. Her body squeezes my cock, her nails digging into my shoulder. Beads of sweat pop on my forehead, and I fight the urge just to slam into her. It feels too damn good. So fucking right. Her skin glows in the low light, her cheeks a beautiful shade of pink. Her hair now falling wildly over her shoulders, and she presses her lips together and smirks.
That all you got?
She asks. Oh, I say, dragging my cock out and then pushing it roughly back in, making her yelp. You want more?
Yes.
She breathes. Readjusting her weight on my arms, feeling her nails tug at my skin and her legs cinch around me, I slam into her once more. And again. And again. The pictures on the walls rattle, one next to the light switch falling to the floor. The sound of the glass breaking echoes down the hall, adding to the sound of our damp skin slapping against each other.
Ty.
Her breasts bounce against my chest, her legs starting to shake. It's sensory overload. A full body tremble rolls through me, and I have a strong need to close my eyes and enjoy the sensation of her getting off on my cock. But I'm not about to miss a moment of this. Watching her come is the most spectacular event of my life. Her lashes lie on her cheeks, her delicate lips falling open. Her chin tilts to the sky as she intakes a quick breath and moans the sexiest sound I've ever heard. She tightens around me in every way, and I push into her as far as I can go and let myself fall over the edge with her. It's an execution we've perfected. Oh, E, I growl, feeling myself explode into her body. She moans, letting her head fall forward on my shoulder. Moving slowly inside of her, I milk her orgasm, drawing out the most pleasure for my girl. Her heartbeat thumps against me, eventually slowing and evening out right alongside mine. I want to hold her in my arms forever. Feel our naked bodies touch in every way. Damn, I've missed this, more than I even realized. I hate to do this, I say, my voice shaking, but I have to put you down. My arms feel like they're full of lactic acid as I ease Elin to the floor. She doesn't say anything, and when she's on her feet, she doesn't look at me. Instead, she scurries to the end of the hallway and finds her t-shirt. My t-shirt, and slips it over her head. I thought you hated that shirt, I joke, attempting to put some levity into the air that's suddenly full of awkwardness. Pulling my jeans up and searching for my shirt, I can't pry my eyes away from her.
I do.
So why are you sleeping in it? She runs a hand through her tangled hair and looks at me.
I'm not sure, it was just the first one on the dresser.
I know that's a lie. She hides that shirt from me all the time because it's so ratty, but I let her go with it. Nodding, I get myself back together and feel the strange build between us. I hate it and scramble to find a way to fill the hallway with something else. So what have you been up to? As soon as the question is out of my mouth, her brows shoot to the ceiling.
Really?
Yeah, really. I say confused. Why do you act like it's an odd question? She huffs and leans against the wall.
I was thinking you'd go now.
Elin, I...
Please, go.
We need to talk, I say.
Not really.
Yes, we do. Let me explain. My heart kicks up in my chest, because I don't know what I'm going to say, but I have to. And I will. I'm ready. I'm ready to get my life back. Our life back. She pulls at the hem of her shirt.
Not tonight.
Will you be okay? I ask, not wanting to leave. My hands itch to pick her up and carry her down the hallway to our bedroom. I want to pull her on top of me and show her just how sorry I am, how much I love her, over and over again until she understands.
I'm always okay.
The bite to her words hits me full on, and I must flinch because she reacts to it, seconds from offering her apology. If you need anything, you'll call me, right?
I'll call Jigs,
she whispers. Pressing a kiss against the top of her head, I let it linger for a few seconds longer than necessary. Hoping it tells her all the things that I can't say, I pull back. Call me, I insist and leave, making sure to lock the squeaky door behind me.
Chapter 12. Elin. You're regular? My eyes adjust to the light in the fountain as the door closes behind me. I search for Ruby, the owner for the last 50 years, and find her at the sink. Please, I smile, standing at the counter next to Lindsay. Fishing out $2 from the bottom of my purse, I lay them beside the napkin dispenser for a large bump. What are you doing here? Lindsay asks, sipping on a strawberry milkshake. It's 60 degrees outside, I say, pointing at her glass. Why are you drinking a milkshake?
I told her I won't tell a soul,
Ruby says, sitting my styrofoam cup in front of me. She leans on the counter with a knowing look. Tell who what? I ask. She leans closer, her eyes sparkling.
That she's pregnant?
Hush! Lindsay giggles, looking around the deserted building. I don't want anyone to know. Not until I'm out of the first trimester. She looks at me and then away just as quickly. I hate this. Lindsay should be asking me to throw a baby shower, having me help pick out names. Instead, she's not discussing it with me, and I'm not bringing it up, and it's just wrong on every level. It has to stop. I gulp. It's going to stop. Ruby picks up on the awkwardness and clears her throat, backing away.
I understand. And like I told you earlier, no matter how much you try, I won't serve you caffeine. It'll be milkshakes for a while. Or juice. But the acid won't do you any favors.
She goes back to the sink and Lindsay looks at me out of the corner of her eye. How are you feeling? I ask her.
Good.
When are we going shopping and buying all the things? A wide, genuine smile splits her cheeks.
I want to. Now. She giggles. I just don't want to make you feel awkward in any way.
Stop worrying about me. You're having a baby. I grin. I'm so ridiculously happy for you, and I want in on everything, and I mean everything. The only weirdness is you avoiding me. She blinks back tears and laughs at herself.
I'm so hormonal. Jigs is afraid to say anything because I just start crying. Poor guy, she says, wiping her eyes with a napkin.
I think it's going to get worse, I tease.
I don't know how, she says, laughing at herself. I'm worried about everything from the health of the baby to the best kind of crib to if I can nurse to if we should move to Florida.
I toss her a pointed glare.
We're still talking about Florida? Why?
I'm scared, Elin. What if we can't support a baby here? It's not just about us now.
No, it's not, but have you talked to Jigs about it?
She rolls her eyes.
Yes, and it goes nowhere.
I find a little satisfaction in that. That my brother wouldn't just give up and leave me. She digs around in her purse and places her money next to mine.
So, what are you doing in here at 2:30 in the afternoon?
I took a half day today, I say, fiddling with my keys. I had some errands I needed to run.
Things you can't take care of after school?
She asks, poking holes in my obvious excuse.
Yep. Okay, she says, drawing out the last syllable.
She drinks the rest of her milkshake, slurping the last few inches from the glass like a little kid.
There, I've given you a few seconds. Now you can start all over.
Glancing at the clock, I settle my purse on my shoulder.
What are you talking about?
You don't take half days, Elin. What's wrong? The somberness in her voice is enough to break me, but I don't want to do that in front of Ruby. I don't even want to do it at all in public because the first breakdown, because I'm sure there will be more than one, should be somewhere private so I can just ugly snot down my face. That can get disgusting. I know because it looked exactly like that last night when I looked in the mirror. I watched myself cry. It's not the first time I've done that, but it is the first time I felt calm instead of being frantic. Quite possibly it was closure settling over me. For a brief moment in the hallway of the home we once shared, we were us. The old us. The people that promised so many things to one another. But once we pulled back, the moment was over. I didn't want to see the secrets in his eyes. The questions on my tongue were so dirty, so insane to consider that it felt like a slap in the face. The sting of abandonment was so piercing that I couldn't just imagine it ever completely going away. The foundation of marriage is love. The walls of a shared life are built with trust, loyalty, and respect. Once those are torn down, there's nothing left standing. I love him, but clearly that's not enough. It took everything I had to make the call this morning, including vomiting my breakfast in the toilet first, but it had to be done. I need to see what options there are and what I can afford. Lindsay watches my hand tremble as I pick up my drink and refuse to look her in the eye. Elin? I have an appointment. With? Eric Parker. Her hand flies to her mouth and she pulls me to her with the other. I push away because hugging my best friend before I do the deed will inevitably have me walking in the attorney's office with wet cheeks. Why, Elin? Did something happen? I'm just going in to see what my options are. I probably can't afford to file anything anyway. Jake said, I don't care what my brother said, I say, turning towards the door. She follows behind me, her hand on my shoulder. Do you know how mentally fucked up this is making me? I can't imagine, she whispers. It's like a special form of torture, and the longer I let it go, the murkier it's going to get. I get that, but... A sob roots itself at the base of my throat. When I look at her, the tears blur her face. He's going to break my heart. I know it, I sniffle, trying desperately to compose myself. I shake my head, warning her not to try and hug me. We can have sex, but we can't talk. He tried to talk, but I don't want to hear what he has to say. Why not? Because I'm too weak, Linz. What if I just break and then things go bad and I'm back to square one? You don't know that's what will happen, she implores. You're right, but I need to know my options. I need to feel like there's a plan, some way out if I choose to listen to him and it doesn't work out. Right now, I'm just in this never-ending swirl of confusion, and I can't do it anymore. I need something to ground me that isn't related to him. Well, I disagree with this, for the record. Noted. Pulling the door open, the light makes me squint. Lindsay's lip quivers, and I have to look away before my walls collapse and I'm a heaping mess on the sidewalk. I need to go, or I'm going to be late, I tell her, sighing. Lindsay walks the two doors down the sidewalk to Blown and disappears inside. I remember hanging out in there with her, planning dinners and nights out with our guys, like my world was untouchable. How foolish. I'd give anything to close my eyes and be transported 6 months back, to walking in the house and having Ty there, the kitchen a mess from his attempt at fixing lunch, the television on entirely too loud. Stop! I mutter to myself, turning abruptly to head to my car. I jump when I almost collide with a hard body.
Mrs. Witt, I'm sorry.
Dustin Montgomery is standing in front of me, a wide grin on his face. His brown hair is cut short, his blue eyes shining. It's fine, Dustin. I think I ran into you. I laugh.
How are you?
He asks, his eyes narrowing.
How's Coach?
Pasting on a smile to hide my uncertainty, I deflect. I'm good, thank you. Why are you not in school?
I skipped a day.
He winces. Dustin?
I know. I'm sorry.
I can't help the smile on my face. Dustin is one of Ty's favorite kids, a boy reminiscent of a younger Cord. He's a child of the foster care system, a kid that does the best he can. Ty picks him up a lot and gets him to practices, and I fix a bag of food for him a lot of nights, so he has something to eat after school before practice. Dustin's a good kid. And I know he loves Ty as much as Ty loves him, and it breaks my heart that he feels as abandoned by my husband as I do. He furrows his brow, his face sobering.
We all miss Coach, Mrs. Witt. Is he okay? Is he coming back? Jason said he saw his truck at a gas station yesterday. I said it couldn't be him, because if he was back, he'd have been at practice.
He forces a swallow.
He would have called me, right?
My chest aches for him. He just got back. I'm sure he'll be by to see you soon. I feel like a jerk for leading him on when I don't know what Ty's plans really are. But you have to remember he's not your coach anymore.
He'll always be our coach.
He says with so much certainty it makes me feel like I'm being reprimanded.
You tell him.
He swears, bending forward so his eyes bore into mine.
That we want him back. At least to see him, know he's okay. Tell him to come by practice, okay? Tell him to call me, Mrs. Witt.
Okay, I will, I whisper, my heart tugging in my chest. He flashes me a concerned smile before turning towards the fountain. Hey, Dustin, I call out. He turns to face me.
Yeah?
Here. I fish through my purse and pull out a $20 bill. Get a sandwich before practice. Hesitating before reaching for the money, I can tell he doesn't want to accept it. He never does. Take it, I say, smiling. Have Ruby make you a double cheeseburger. She's bored in there today anyway. You'll thrill her to death.
Thanks, Mrs. Witt.
He reaches for the money, his eyes softening.
I'll do that. But the burger won't be as good as yours.
Shaking my head, I adjust my purse on my shoulder. If you need anything this week, you know how to get a hold of me. I mean that.
And if you need anything at all, call me. You've always...
His cheeks flush and he looks down the street for a long second before turning back to me.
You've always been good to me. Anything you need, Mrs. Witt, I'm happy to help out however I can.
Thank you, Justin, I say, biting my bottom lip so the physical pain weighs heavier than my emotions. He watches me carefully, trying to decide if I'm okay. Once he seems satisfied, he heads into the fountain, and I head into Attorney Parker's office a few doors down.
Chapter 13. Ty. Pulling off my blue hooded sweatshirt, I toss it into the truck before slamming the door behind me. Ball! I yell out, and a few moments later, the basketball is in my hands. I step onto the court and launch the ball from half court. It drains through the net. Grinning at Jiggs and Cord, I laugh. Still got it. Jiggs rebounds the ball and passes it to me again. Didn't expect to see you here. And why is that? I pull up and drop another through the hoop. I was hoping you'd be at the high school. I let out a long breath. I'm actually going to head over there in a bit. Huh, you're full of surprises today, Witt, Jiggs says, whistling through his teeth. Yeah, I called Reynolds this morning and asked if he'd care if I came by tonight. He isn't gonna care, Cord laughs, stealing the ball from Jiggs. That's your team. It is my team, to me anyway. It always will be. I've watched most of these kids come up from elementary school, participating in the kiddie clinics and summer camps. They've grown from toothless faces to men, ready to strike out on their own, and I feel a vested interest in making sure that happens. Besides my life with Elin, there's nowhere else I love to be more than with the team. Resigning felt like the right thing to do. I couldn't walk without a fucking limp, couldn't show them how to do the skills I needed to teach them. Not being able to give them 100% wasn't acceptable, and admitting that in front of them, letting them see me broken, wasn't tolerable either. So I tucked tail and ran. Don't get me wrong, Jig says. I'm glad you're going, man, but what changed? The last time I talked to you, the question of you going back to coaching was up in the air. Elin's face darts through my mind, the taste of her lips against mine. The feeling of her body wrapped up against me. Everything was launched into perspective. Even though I don't have answers on how to work everything out, I know there's no other option, no matter how long it takes or how hard it is. I saw Elin last night. I say simply. Ah, so you got some pussy? Cord grins. Ugh, we aren't going to talk about fucking my sister, Jiggs interjects, throwing up a shot. I have limits, asshole. Laughing, I rebound the ball and press it against my hip. I had relations with my wife. Glancing over my shoulder, I catch Jiggs's eye. Sound better? Can we just say you talked to her? I can read between the lines. Chuckling, I passed the ball to court. But I didn't talk to her. Not yet. Ah, so you just got down to the point. Shut up, court! Jiggs grimaces. I'm gonna deal with the boys first. Apologize for bailing like I did. Maybe see if Reynolds needs a hand this season. Then I'll go see my wife. Sounds like a plan, court says. I like it. Jiggs turns to look at me. I like it too. I expect her to be pissed off and for this to take some time, but she's ready to work this out. I mean, she made me leave last night after we talked. I smirk. And that's fine. I can handle that. I feel good about it today. Clear. Court's face lights up. It's about fucking time. The sound of gravel crunching behind me cuts me off. We all look to the entrance of the park to see Pettis's car pulling in. What the fuck does he want? I spit. His rights terminated, maybe? Cord laughs, an anger palpable in his tone. Hopefully. Pettis gets out of the car. I've hated this fucker since high school. He's a year older than me. When I took the starting point guard position on the basketball team away from him my freshman year, things got heated. When Elon chose me over him, things got worse. They never recovered. The chip on his shoulder has my name on it. We've gone head to head on just about everything, even our jobs in the mine. Seeing him pull up with that look on his face sends me into high alert. This look is one I've seen a million times over the years, and it never, never ends well. Hey guys, need another player? He asks cheerfully. You can't be fucking serious, Jiggs laughs. Pettis makes a face like Jiggs is crazy. You're an odd number. We can go 2-on-2. The only 2-on-2 that'll happen around here if you don't leave is two fists hitting you in the face, Cord promises. Pettis laughs and steps up to the court. How are you, Wit? I eye him carefully. There's nothing pleasant or coincidental about this run-in. While I'd really like to just dribble his face down the asphalt after the incident at Thoroughbreds, for some strange reason, I want to hear what he has to say. Yeah, that's what I thought, Pettis says, sighing dramatically. I'm sorry, you know, not everything's meant to be. Just keep your chin up and you'll find... What the fuck are you talking about? Jiggs asks, walking so that his shoulders are lined with mine and cords. Pettis flinches like he's caught off guard. What do you mean? His eyes go unnaturally wide, putting on a show for me and my friends. His hands come up in front of him in some form of defense. His sight is set straight on me. He makes sure I'm paying attention, a smirk hidden beneath his false surprise. My alert mode flips straight into kill mode. Although the source of this little meet and greet is still unknown, what I do know is that it's going to end with me wanting to end him. Period. Cord knows it, too, because I feel his hand on my shoulder, squeezing it, reminding me he's there, and if I need help ending Pettis, he's more than willing. Shut the fuck up, Pettis, and get to the part where you say whatever it is you showed up here to say or fucking beat it, Cord says. Oh, easy there, McCurry, Pettis says, realizing just how precarious his situation might be. I didn't realize y'all didn't know. Didn't know what? Jiggs asks. He flashes me a look, apologizing for asking because it is, in a way, feeding the troll. But he wants to know. We all do. Pettis looks right at me, the smirk playing on his lips. My blood runs cold, my breath hanging in the air as I wait to see what bomb he's going to drop on me. Because he is. He's too geared up for it not to be. That Elon filed for divorce today. Pettis says the words so carefully, so clearly, then watches for the wound to open where his words cut me. He's smart enough to take a step back as I process his declaration. Although I don't think it's true, not after last night. I can't help but feel the rug slip just a little beneath me. My world spins, my voice escaping me as the thought, what if it's true, hits me. She did not, Jiggs says, laughing in disbelief. Get the fuck out of here before I kick your ass and don't you ever, ever go near my sister, you piece of fucking shit. You hear me? Pettis shrugged, still watching me. Yeah, I'll leave. Just wanted to give you my condolences. I offered her mine as she came out of Parker's office today. I might go by there tonight and see if she needs a friend. Cord shoves me backward as he charges forward. Pettis scrambles to his car and locks the door. Cord and